There are 30 members present. That is a quorum. I will call us to order and ask us to stand, and if you choose to participate in the Pledge of Allegiance. Good evening. Welcome. I'm not sure if there are any cards and correspondence on the back bulletin board because I can't remember back to last week, but I believe that there is a notice up there about the County's Association frac sand mining. We'll hear more about that in the administrator's report, but please check out the bulletin board before you leave tonight if you would. I had also hoped that Jim Burns and Sharon Hampson, one of the two of them, would be here this evening to give an update on, I believe they have a meeting date set, or so I thought, for their downsizing work group. Perhaps if one of them arrives later, we will be able to come back to that agenda item. Anybody have any conference reports? Supervisor Marilyn Pedretti.
Not actually a conference report, but a congratulations to Mary Meehan Stroop. She won the Chancellor's Award for Excellence from the UW Colleges and UW Extension.
Excellent.
On her work for Wisconsin families and communities. So congratulations, Mary.
Congratulations, Mary. Come in and take a bow. Congratulations. We're very proud of you. Thank you for all your work. A career full of it. Thank you. Any other conference reports? Supervisor Burke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was not able to attend this, but I did attend another event at the county where one of our sheriff's deputies was honored, and that is Daniel Baudek. He was honored with the Congressional Badge of Bravery. Actually, this is the first time it has been awarded, and the two officers, he and Officer Page from the Onalaska Police Department, were awarded it on October 26th at the City Hall in Onalaska, and I think our officers are called upon to do many courageous things, and these two officers were recognized at that time. So.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Supervisor Mettinger, did you want to add anything since? Because, okay, thank you. Thanks, Vicki, for that. Any other conference reports? In preparation for our November 14th and 5th, actually our 15th meeting, we're going to pass around this sheet to indicate whether or not you will be here during the lunch break. And if you want to sign up for a meal, if you would make sure you indicate that on the form, please, we would appreciate it. And if what's being offered is not a vegetarian meal. If you would prefer a vegetarian meal, if you would just indicate that next to your name, that would be helpful. Supervisor Hampson, as you take your seat, do you have anything to report on the work group, downsizing work group?
Sure, I do. Excuse my lateness.
Thank you.
I have talked with David Callender at WCA. And WCA, of course, has nothing that they can help me with because they don't have the resources. So what he did say was that, who's that lawyer, Phillips? Andy Phillips, yeah. He wrote a memo a couple years ago about the statutory committees that are required by the state. So he sent me that, so I have a list of statutory committees. And then I've asked Ginny, our county clerk, to correspond with other county clerks and find out what standing committees they have. And lo and behold, there's my report right there on my desk. So that's what we're working on. We're just trying to get a feel for what we need to do and what is done in other parts of the state. And then I'm going to zero in on those counties that went down in the number of county board supervisors and see what they did in terms of their committees.
And then will you be convening a meeting?
Yes.
Do you have a ballpark idea of when that will be?
Before Thanksgiving.
Excellent. And so just a reminder, if you haven't heard from me that you have been assigned to that group, we certainly can add more folks. So make sure you talk to me after the meeting if you want to serve on that work group. There are, I think, 6-7 members right now, but if you just double check with me to make sure that you get included on the pink notice for that, I would appreciate it. Last call for conference reports. Hearing none, Mr. O'Malley, administrator's report.
First item I have is proclamation November 2011 for Veterans Month. Whereas the Veterans Service Office assists and supports La Crosse County veterans and their family members in recognition of the sacrifices and services of veterans to La Crosse County, the state of Wisconsin, and the United States, and whereas respect for veterans' achievements and sacrifices on behalf of the nation and the world is ensured, and whereas leadership and advocacy for La Crosse County veterans is demonstrated, and whereas commitment to service excellence while assisting veterans with their applications for state and federal veterans programs is of the highest level, now therefore be it resolved, La Crosse County Board does hereby proclaim the month of November 2011 as La Crosse County Veterans Month and urges all residents to join in recognizing the valuable contribution military veterans have made to La Crosse County.
Is there a motion to approve the proclamation? Moved by Supervisor Schrader, seconded by Supervisor Brockmiller. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That proclamation is approved unanimously.
As part of that, I'd like our Veteran Service Officer, Jim Gaussman, to step up and highlight a couple of events that are coming up this week, as well as what he's been working on. So, Jim?
Good evening, everyone. I don't stay late a lot, so those of you who don't know me, I'm your Veteran Service Officer, have been since 1994. As usual, Veterans Day will be celebrated in La Crosse. The main event will be Friday, November 11th, 10 a.m. There's a non-denominational service at Our Savior's Lutheran Church, 6th and Division Streets. Then that assembly will proceed just a block or two to American Legion Post 52. There will be a brief outdoor ceremony that will conclude at 11 a.m. and then chili is served afterward. Instead of a lot of other ceremonies in the county, a lot of veterans go to grade, middle, and high schools, talk about the importance of Veterans Day, flag etiquette, things like that. And more, this is at the request of teachers at the schools. That's becoming more and more popular, and our veteran service organizations have stepped up to do that. On Thursday the 10th, there's also a ceremony across the street at Western Wisconsin Tech in the CUM Center at 12:20. For those of you who are vets in the room, I'd like to bring to your attention that on Veterans Day, there are, if you look in your county packet, there are some restaurants and some retail outlets that are going to have 10% off for veterans. I need a snowblower, so I'm going to go buy one and save a few bucks. So I think my timing's going to be pretty good. Office activity is very busy. We're starting to pull out of Iraq. The work in the Veterans Service Office has been pretty constant and just increasing since 2001, 2002, straight through. It's an honor and a privilege to do that, but I'll be more than happy when there's less to do. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for your service. If I could just ask for members of the county board who are veterans or active duty members of the military to just stand so that we can recognize you. Thank you. Supervisor Schrader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jim, I don't think you mentioned the ceremony at Vets.
Can you go down back?
Your microphone, Jeff, please.
Yeah. You want to do that?
The one thing I missed is Friday, November 11th at 8:30, there's a breakfast at the UWL Veterans Hall of Honor at the stadium. It's a fundraiser for Freedom Honor Flight, which has been incredibly successful. That's $100,000 a flight. We're on flight number 5 or 6, all with private donations. And I would encourage you to stop by and have a breakfast. It's hosted by students and people at the university, but it's for a really worthwhile cause. The Hall of Honor has also been remodeled, A lot of us have worked on that over the years. It's worth stopping by. Friday morning, 8:30. Thank you.
Thanks,
Jeff. And
RSVP 784-1015.
I just
go ahead, Supervisor Schrader.
Make an addition to that, that it's free. There's no donations taken. You don't have to make any donations. Open to all veterans, their spouses. There's a brief ceremony at the hall. Then everybody goes over to the field house where they have the track and everything. That's where breakfast will be served. So it's open to all veterans and all their spouses.
Great. Thank you, Supervisor Schrader. Supervisor Meyer.
You can have the free breakfast in the morning, and I got an email today that Famous Dave's, you can get a free meal, full dinner if you're a veteran, just have to give some identification.
Anything else on Veterans Day?
Madam Chair, if I could ask the veterans to raise their hands again so that Ginny can mark that down in the minutes. One of the things that Jim started doing, I believe it was 2 years ago, was starting to list for display on our doors the county employees that are veterans, and one of the things Jim wanted to make sure this evening that we were able to add your names to the list as well, if you'd like, because county employees listed throughout the organization are actually recognized on our doorways. So could we get a show of hands again of the folks that are veterans so that and stick with us until Ginny actually gets the names down?
So Ebert,
mind.
Kyle, Meyer, Brock Miller, Bina, Spiker, Schrader. Did I miss anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep.
Thank you. I wanted to make sure you got all those names. I wasn't writing fast enough either, so I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, next I have just a very brief mention of our December 5th policy planning is going to be really heavily on zoning issues, and some folks thought we were going to go through all these issues tonight. We're not going to. This is probably the shortest part of the agenda, but the frac sand mining, we're going to end up doing a comprehensive review of that. Carl Green has got quite a detailed presentation on what's happening with that area to kind of set the stage for what we know the policy issues are and even what the whole concept of the technology is about. Ron Chamberlain will give us an idea of some of the challenges and issues he knows about the impact on county roads. Jeff Buskey will talk about some of the zoning decisions. And then there are two items coming up that are one of the reasons I want to mention this tonight is if you're interested in going to the Wisconsin County's mining seminar November 14th in Stevens Point, please let Margaret in the board chair's office know, perhaps ride together. It's on both frac sand mining as well as other mining issues. Again, that's November 14th, so let her know, and then maybe people can ride together. Representative Doyle is also holding an informational meeting Wednesday, November 16th from 6:30 to 8 at the West Salem Library. I believe that's a community listening session to learn more about what people's concerns are locally about what's going on. And so that will help that we'll be as prepared as possible when those discussions come up in the presentations Monday, December 5th for your next policy planning meeting.
Just stop at that for a second and see if Supervisor Doyle wants to add anything.
Oh, sorry.
Just to say that those are the same people who will be at the informational meeting, plus Greg Stengel from Land Conservation. Okay. My understanding is that although they won't participate in the panel, there will be one or two people from Matthew Construction who have some expertise in this area, too, that may be available for questions. So it's going to be at the West Salem Library.
And a reminder on the 14th, that's our public hearing on the budget. So don't get lost coming back from Stevens Point, please. Supervisor Schrader.
Are you sending a representative to this frac mining thing? Is there
the WCA one?
Yes.
If somebody wants to go, they certainly can.
No, Mr. Buskey is indicating that he is going to go.
From staff. I thought you meant from the county
but
board.
But I just thought board members may be interested.
Thank Supervisor you. Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At that December meeting, can we have maybe a spreadsheet on from who regulates, you know, different aspects of it? The county can regulate zoning, maybe health, highway. What does the city and what does the state do? because, you know, we might get calls, and it's located in the city of La Crosse, and it deals with them, but maybe the county highways, it could get a little confusing, maybe a spreadsheet on which governmental entity regulates what, and maybe a handout or something, something simple.
Supervisor Mettinger.
Yeah, I, from time to time, I question the objectivity of the WCA. They get a little close to some special interest groups from time to time. And I was curious who was going to be sponsoring this mining seminar, if it was WMC or other sponsors. Sometimes they get sponsors for these things, and I'd like to know who their corporate sponsors are.
Well, we can make additional copies of this. I didn't, but the speakers they have on frac sand mining are the is Tom Ouellette, Special Projects Coordinator for the DNR, and then frac sand mining, the local perspective, is a conservationist from Chippewa County, and Kevin Lean, Director of the Tremplo County Department of Land Management. That's the morning. The afternoon is on metallic mining. So I believe the presentations are pretty balanced, at least from a local government perspective, at this particular seminar.
And there aren't any corporate sponsors listed in the advertisement, the posting for that event. Okay. That doesn't mean that they're not there. There are no advertised corporate sponsors for that event.
I know they're... It gets a little cozy down in Madison sometimes, with all due respect to the state representative Doyle.
So, again, the intent for December is to make sure that all board members have the opportunity to hear a full spectrum of information about frac sand mining, because it will come back to us at several committees as permits or requests make their way through. So for sure, Public Works and Infrastructure, zoning, obviously PR&D, Public Health, we all need to hear about this. And what we're trying to do is make sure that we give a comprehensive presentation at the December policy planning meeting when it's open discussion. So make every effort to be at that if you can, please. Supervisor Bina.
There is also a meeting on the 17th, I think, put on by the Towns Association for the State of Wisconsin and Wisconsin Farmers Union, and it is up in Eau Claire. I was thinking about going to Stevens Point, but if you got to be back in time for the public hearing, I was throwing that idea out, and I was going to go to Eau Claire, but I'll do it on my own, not necessarily for the county.
Well, and thank you for mentioning the Towns Association. I think we are also looking at inviting town board members to that December 5th meeting and holding it down in B190 so that, I mean, it can be opened up to anybody, but to make sure that elected officials from the towns know that that is happening and encourage, make it available to them, so if they're not able to go to Eau Claire, that they could certainly participate, come in and hear our presentation at least. Supervisor Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On that December 5th, if it's held in the B190, will that be a public hearing as well?
No, I don't think it's a public hearing. It's just to make the space more welcoming for non-county board folks to be there and hear the presentation. I don't think we're ready for public hearing yet. We're not.
All right.
We're not proposing an ordinance change or resolutions at this point. It's really just informational.
There are a lot of concerns about frac sand. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of research on it. WisconsinWatch.org has an enormous amount of information mm-hmm. on this, and I think every supervisor should be well informed of this, because there's a lot of effects that could happen with health and safety and noise and so on. And if it's true what's happening on the north side of La Crosse, I hope and pray that everybody is aware of what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you for that paid political advertisement for coming to the December meeting. Supervisor Doyle.
Thank you one more time. In addition to what Andrea Richmond was saying, this is also not theoretical for the out county because of the purchase of land next to Webster Lumber by a frac mining company. And we had a little work group that met the other day to talk about the issue, and there's some speculation that that may mean 600 trucks per day, possibly every day of the year, that would be going through there carrying sand in and out. That's a location where they would presumably do the processing. It wouldn't be the digging, but you know, all the surrounding counties would send the sand there, which we wanted to do at the one that I'm sponsoring, we want to do a balance. I mean, it means jobs, but it means a lot of beating on the roads. And Ron Chamberlain talked about there are some things that we can do to help that. In fact, I was talking with the Matthews, and they had done something like that in another county where they put in a road before they even did the mining. You know, so there are some proactive things that can be done. And as I said, it's more than just theoretical. It's here and now in La Crosse County.
Thank you again for another encouragement to everyone to attend that December 5th meeting. Supervisor Gamera.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My constituents have been contacting me because they're concerned about this. Will the Village of Bangor and the Village of Rockland be getting some notice about these meetings?
Yes.
The concerns I've been hearing...
I'm sorry if I just said towns. It should be towns, villages. Elected officials in La Crosse County will be invited to the December 5th meeting by us, and I'm seeing Supervisor Doyle indicate that he will be inviting all elected officials to the November 16th one as well.
I've had a lot of calls about this, so I'm very concerned about this. Thank you.
Back to you, Mr. O'Malley. Thank you for the...
Just to remind everybody, one point about the WCA meeting, the morning is on frac sand mining, the afternoon is on metallic mining. We don't believe we have an exposure on the metallic mining issue, so if you are able to go and are interested, want to encourage you. And also, staff is not presenting a point of view or advocating. We're just trying to bring you the information you need to know about, as Representative Doyle said, what's actually happening in the community that we know about, what the challenges are, what our levels of authority are that we understand them now, and to be able to have you as decision makers along with other local officials hear that information, then give us direction on what, as your staff, we should be doing. So just recognize we're not here with an agenda as much as just trying to bring you up to date on all the issues and authority that you as a local government have. So that's our job. The other two items that we're going to update you on that evening will be, and we haven't figured out exactly how this report will go, but as you know, your PRD committee has been doing a great deal of work on the siding ordinance. They want to be able to bring you up to date on that status and what's happening there, and so between now and then we'll be getting their input, as well as the status of the zoning ordinance and what's happening with that. So December 5th is going to have a lot to do with a lot of zoning issues. We've been spending so much time on other issues. We just want that whole meeting to be just about that. So, again, that's the end of my report on that area. Any questions on that? Please, again, if you want to go to the WCA thing, let Margaret know, and we'll try to pull together. The next item that we have is a presentation by the Finance Department, and I just turn this over to Gary.
Got to put my parts back together here. Is my mic on? Okay. I'm losing my parts. I guess it happens to all of us eventually. Anyway, as was indicated on the agenda, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board is requiring governments to make some changes and additional definitions to fund balance requirements for governmental units. Just for everybody's information, our fund balance policy is in ordinance form. It's ordinance 4.12. The rationale or the reason for these changes was included on this green sheet in your agenda tonight. Also going through this month through the executive committee will be the revised ordinance with the additional definitions. And then it will come to the full county board in November for first reading, and then the second reading in December. These changes to the fund balance policy are a work in progress. The finance department has been working on it as a team, led by Sharon Davidson, our assistant finance director. So we've been working on it as a team for a few months now, but it still is a work in progress. Many staff members of the finance department are going to be attending a training session at the Wisconsin Government Finance Officers Association in December, where we are going to be hearing from the guru, so to speak, from GFOA on these changes. His name is Stephen Gauthier. So we're going to be learning a little bit more at that training session that's coming up. We also are discussing as we make these changes, we have full discussions with the auditors to get their guidance and direction to make sure that we are understanding the changes as they are making the understanding of the changes. Sharon is going to give you kind of a high-level presentation of current fund balance policy and then what the new fund balance policy will be. Again, it's kind of a high level. If you have questions on it tonight, we'll try to answer those. If there are questions that we are still learning about, we might have to take those questions and get back to you, but certainly we'll try to have answers for those questions when the ordinance does come through the full board in November and December. So, Sharon, you want to come up?
Good evening. How are you tonight? Can you hear me? Is it on? Is it okay now? Okay. All right. This is just going to be kind of a quick overview of some of the changes that are going on. And I want to let you know that if you look at your CAFR, there's page 42 of the governmental balance sheet. That's the page that's going to change. Right now we have, it's the bottom half of the page that shows what things are reserved or unreserved or undesignated. And this is what's going to change. So if you're interested, you could review that sometime. Okay. So tonight I just want to talk about, first of all, a little bit about who is the GASB, what is GASB Statement 54, how is our fund balance currently reported, what are the new classifications, and then a little bit about special revenue funds. There's a new definition for it. And then what do we as La Crosse County have to do? So first
Supervisor
of all,
Ebert has a question about the outline, the summary.
Is this state or federal?
This is all state, local, federal governments.
Okay, thank you.
The GASB rules everybody.
Supervisor Bina.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And what makes this so important that we have to change? I don't quite get who are the guys of GASB, why are they the experts?
That probably is on the summary.
It's
Let's give Sharon a chance to get through part of this, and if you still have questions, I know she'll be willing to answer them.
I guess, first of all, Jeanine, who is the GASB? The GASB is the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, and I looked up today. It's made up of six people, and I think there's four men and two women. These are experts in the field, and they get together and they meet regularly on making new standards, trying to make things better for reporting. They issue these standards, and we have to abide by them, especially if we want to get our CAFR award. We have to do what they say. They are they write the Bible for the government accounting. The GASB was established in 1984, and I believe the people are on 5 to 10 year terms, and they are recognized by governments, the accounting industry, the markets, as the official source of generally accepted accounting principles. And you see this in our audit report, in our opinion, the GAAP. So we have to follow GAAP for state and local governments. And what is GASB Statement 54? GASB Statement 54 is establishing classifications that comprise a hierarchy based on, like, what you as a county board put money aside for. It's not just you, but it's what federal, state government tell us what we can do with certain money and what the county board says we do. And it just, you'll see in a little while, there's five different classifications. And again, Gary said, why are we changing? One of the reasons GASB is doing this change is because they look at all the CAFRs. And you remember the CAFR is the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. And they look through these things, and they tried to, first they were just going to change the definitions of the reserved, unreserved. But they said too many people are just doing things inconsistently, so they wanted to create a new set of rules so everybody's doing it consistently. And for us, we have to implement this for the 2011 year, which is the end of 2011. You'll see it in your audit report, the new classifications. So first I want to just explain about how the fund balance is currently reported. Right now in your categories, and this only affects the governmental type funds. It does not affect enterprise funds or internal service funds. And we have basically two categories, the reserved and the unreserved. And under unreserved, we have designated and undesignated. And it's we'll just explain a little bit. Okay. The reserved fund balance means you can't spend it. So an example of this would be like in our general fund, we have some prepayments. We can't spend that. So below we have a reserve for that, and then that's down below. So that's under reserved. Another thing that you cannot spend is like long-term receivables, and we do have a little bit of that. Another example, and this wouldn't be for us, but for a college, there might be an endowment that someone gives a scholarship for, and you can't spend that money. You can only spend the interest. So that's non. That's that would be under reserved currently. And then in unreserved, we have two categories under there. We have the designated unreserved fund balance, which is available for appropriation, and that's a lot of that is done through carry forwards, purchase orders, and planned use of the budget for money. And then what's left is your undesignated unreserved, and that's what we talk about now is our 40% to 50%, and it's in the general fund. So that's what you see now when you look at this page. GASB 54, there's five classifications: the non-spendable, restricted, committed, assigned, and unassigned. So it's basically taking what we have and putting it in new categories. So the first one is non-spendable. And this again, is things you cannot spend. So in our CAFR right now, we have a reserve for uncollected taxes. That's not spendable, so that would be in this category. Prepayments and also advances to other funds. And for us on the general fund, the advances to other funds are we've loaned money to McIntosh, Regents, and Maplewood for, we didn't borrow money to build those or to buy those. We loaned the money, so you can't spend that money. The next category then is restricted. Restricted fund balance is money that can be spent only for specific purposes stipulated by external. So essentially, if the state has legislation or if we have a federal or state grant that we've received the money for but we haven't spent it all by the end of the year, then we have to reserve it, and we can only spend it for that specific purpose, so that would be restricted. Another thing is unspent bond proceeds. If you know, there's statutes on unspent bond proceeds, so we're limited. So it's kind of an overview of the restricted category. The next category is committed. Committed fund balance includes amounts that can be used only for specific purposes determined by formal action of the government's highest level of decision-making, which is you as the county board. So the county board does a resolution or ordinance or whatever. This is what becomes committed. And another note for committing fund balance, you have to do action by the end of the year. So you have to do it by December 31st. And if there's something you want to do after the end of the year, it would end up being the next one, which is assigned. And we'll talk more a bit about this as the months go on. So the examples, and again, the commitment can only be changed by the county board with another action. So the examples of these are our interest stabilization fund, our economic support reserve within human services, and then we also have a Lake Neshonic improvement fund that's reserved, and these were all done by resolution. The next category is assigned. Assigned fund balance includes amounts intended to be used by the government for a specific purpose, and the intent can be expressed by the governing body or by the official body to which the county board would delegate. So you as the county board could delegate this function to the executive committee, as you do now for approving carry forwards and, you know, other things and budget things. So examples of this are open purchase orders, the carry forwards that are approved by exec now, and then I'll talk about special revenue funds couple slides later. I want to explain a little bit of rule about that. Then the last thing is unassigned. Unassigned is what's left, and it can only be within the general fund. So you'll see that in the new ordinance. There'll be a little change in that. So it's basically the unreserved, undesignated will now become the unassigned within the general fund.
Okay. Then the next, I want to talk about the special revenue fund. Right now, our special revenue funds are made up of our health, our human services, our aging, the business fund, and we've got several other land, some other little ones too. And with right now within your CAFR, you see undesignated fund balance for some of these funds. You won't see that anymore, because when a fund is created, the GASB looks at it and says, okay, the county board created this fund. There's an intent for that fund. So now it will fall under assigned. So every special revenue fund will have assigned or something restricted or committed. You'll never see unassigned. And for us, this only affects the library fund. We've looked at all of our special revenue funds, and the reason what they say is they look at your total revenues and where they come from. And if most of your revenues come from property taxes, it can't be a special revenue fund. And with our library, it is just about all property taxes, so we have to move that within the general fund. But we're going to do it only for reporting purposes only. We want to leave the library fund separate for budget, but we're going to show it as combined with the general fund in the CAFR. But you'll see a couple schedules. It'll still be separated, but it's going to be combined. So we'll see a couple of different new schedules in your CAFR. And then the last is, what do we have to do for La Crosse County? And the first thing we have to do is determine the fund type, you know, as it's been reported, make sure it's in the definitions, which we're done with that. And then in November, next week, you will see the ordinance going through for the change, and then you have to adopt it. And the second reading will be in December. And that's pretty much it.
Questions? Supervisor Bina.
Well, in thinking through what you just went through, what are the consequences if you don't adhere to these rules? Can they put our administrator in jail?
No, I'm sure not.
Or can they put the
chair is ruling that motion
jail?
Out of order.
What are the consequences of not following them to the letter?
I think there's two primary consequences. Number one is the auditors probably would not be able to give us a clean audit because we aren't following the standards. And second of all, we certainly wouldn't be able to achieve the Excellence in Financial Reporting Award that we've been getting now for a few years. You know, keep in mind, just give a little bit more background again. In the early 70s, the private industries came out with the Financial Accounting Standards Board. The Financial Accounting Standards Board was established in the early 70s to govern and standardize financial reporting from all businesses. And because of this, I guess, the general success of that, then the Governmental Accounting Standards Board was set up in the early 80s to do the same with government. Again, the rationale, again, is so that there's consistency for the users of the financial statements, be it taxpayers or banks and that type of thing. So we want to make sure, I guess, that we are following it, because it wouldn't make much sense not to follow it.
And the second question is, on the one slide it said you have to adhere to the rules except for debt service and something at the end. Why is not debt service?
No, debt service would be included.
That
I think
would
I gave
be
that
included?
As an example. That,
okay,
that,
that's...
yeah.
I thought it should
it's
be.
It's all governmental funds, and the debt service is a governmental fund.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Geary, I thought, you know, when we got our bond rating raised, you know, because of our financial policies and we got our balances up, et cetera, but I think it was also a factor, maybe not as big as the policy ones, is how we did our accounting functions and reporting. I think
yes,
way back when, I kind of remember that.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. I mean, it's you know, one consequence of not following this is that we probably would pay higher interest on our borrowing costs.
Supervisor Mettinger.
Yeah, I read on the green sheet that you handed out, and if you reference this, I was trying to pay attention, but it said on question number 14, that governments should have this done by June 30th, 2011, and now it's November 2011. Is that the state fiscal year? We're not behind anything,
no,
are
no.
we? Or?
It's for periods beginning after June 30th, 2010 or something like that. So for periods
an
beginning
example.
After... Ours is beginning January 1st.
Well,
our fiscal year begins...
Okay, it just said governments encouraged to implement the standards earlier. That means earlier than June 30th, 2011. But we're still, because we operate on a calendar year, we're fine. And
we're
yes.
fine. Mm-hmm.
And
we're
just
fine.
This is coming up in December? Or
yeah.
First reading in November, second reading in December.
Okay.
Right.
And we have to pass it. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Thank you, Sharon, very much. Thank you, Gary.
Speaking of fund balances and debt and other items, I realize that when we've given you some presentation before on debt, we didn't give you all the background, and so we're going to give you a bunch of new information. Gary's actually got some handouts that will end up detailing this, but if we could get the next set of slides up. Yeah, you could start distributing it now. Yeah, all of it would be fine. Basically, our next stage is to prepare for the budget deliberation and adoption. We don't have a lot of amendments, very few coming through any of the committees, a few minor adjustments through the information that are minor corrections and that type of thing. But just to give you an overview, again, our total gross budget under the administrator's recommendation is only a 0.33% increase. After two consecutive years of 0% operating levy, we're recommending a 0% change in operating, library, and debt levies. The tax rate, as you know, rises a little bit because the equalized value has gone down, so it's an overall 3.84, risen to a 3.87. That's in the first page of your budget book, so it summarizes that information. We've gotten the distribution of equalized value back so far. It's very easy to say that it's a zero across the board, a very slight change in rate. You know the pieces that we've done before. To give you a full example, when we've gotten all the individual supervisors' bills, we've been able to show you the slight shifts that are going on. There's not a huge amount of change of percent of equalized value as a municipality as of the earliest report we see, but we do see a slight decrease in City of La Crosse and City of Onalaska as a percent of value of the county's total value, and a slight increase in Holland and Holman, while the rest, there's almost no change. So, again, we always do that full report for you the last several years that uses your individual property tax bills as kind of the experiment to show that's obviously a clear cross-section of the entire county. But, again, we should see very little impact on or change in the county portion of your property tax bill because there's absolutely no raise in property taxes for this. We bypassed the ability that the new law allowed us to do, which was to raise the levy by the value of new construction. That would have raised our rate, and we've held the line on all portions of the levy, including debt. I also went through some of the details about the Wisconsin retirement shift, that while there is some shift of cost to employees, it's not making up the entire gap of the budget problems that we had going into here.
Supervisor Doyle.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do we have the numbers yet with regard to equalized value and new construction and so forth?
Right. I have the totals for those, not by supervisory district, but by municipality, and, of course, that total new construction countywide was the number I used.
Okay. Thank you.
And we can get anybody that wants more detailed information later. This is also the period of time that once a year we update you on our comparisons on per capita, and because we always know what's going to happen this year is what has actually already been adopted. This is an update of the 2011, that's the current levy year. The average for all Wisconsin counties, all 72, is $344 per capita. The median is $397, or 34% and 54% higher than La Crosse. You'll notice that based on the most current information, we miss out by 9 cents per capita, our fifth place finish. That's about $10,000 difference of total spending in a year. If you round, we tie. Otherwise, we are in sixth space. The next piece of information is I asked our finance department, Mary Powell, called the other counties that are close to us in size, and based on the information from Waukesha and Racine, whose levies are going up, and if you are able to adopt the administrator's budget as presented or lower than that, we will be back in a solid position of fifth. This is total levy, including operating and debt. Last year, remember, the only increase that we had was for debt service, which is why I think we got a little bit closer to Waukesha than we had been before. So you may have seen this covered in the information in the paper this weekend. I thought it was important that you actually have the detail information. We continue to maintain a very strong financial status. We always give you that full detailed sheet. While some of the definitions will change, we won't be making any policy recommendations for changing how we apply or utilize those funds. It'll be definitions that will change, and we'll explain that as the ordinance comes through. But we continue to have a very strong undesignated general fund balance that grew from 2009 to 2010 from 41% to 44%. Now, Sharon, remind me, what is going to be the term for undesignated after this?
Unassigned.
Unassigned. So you get used to using the new term. And that's the type of figure that will obviously continue to maintain within your policies. Human services will be committed?
Assigned.
Will be assigned, excuse me. I'm learning as we're going along as well, so hopefully they won't quiz me or Don Bina won't put me in jail. The health department is continues to be stable, and the highway department is up by 8%, while the aging department has the strongest individual fund balance of any significant or any single department because of their fund balance itself as well as the Darrell Larson estate. So they're in a position alone at 35% of their fund balance. In addition to that, then, we also provide you with the detail of how we utilize fund balance to help lower the budget and help operate. The blue summary page shows you a quick version of comparing 2010, 2011, 2012, and our total fund balance used for operations is actually down by $1.1 million, and from 2010 to 2011, and down by another $448,000. And the line that I'm referring to, if you have this, is actually the bottom line here, where it shows the actual total decrease in total fund balance usage for operations. So it lists that specifically. So one of the reasons that we've consciously tried to do that is not to use fund balance for operations, is to really put ourselves in the strongest position. As some of you know, there's a lot of debate going on at the federal level about the super committee, across the board cuts, automatic cuts. This allows us to have some fallback if we are to need to make decisions to revisit the budget if our assumptions about funding changes in mid-year. In addition to that, total fund balance usage for infrastructure and debt have gone up because of our strategy of paying off debt early, and that's the primary purpose of my presentation, and I wanted to give you some of that detail so you have a little bit deeper understanding.
Supervisor Geary has a question.
5% in the aging, is that estate in the 35%, or is that a different line item in that, aging?
That's combining everything within aging. The aging fund balance as of 2010 in the department alone is $393,000. The 8521 money reserved only for transportation is $99,000. And at the end of 2010, the estate donation fund is at $273,000. You combine that versus their total operations, and it's over 35%.
Yeah. I just seen it was listed in the undesignated area. And I thought estates were usually designated for a specific purpose or something, or not?
They will be considered committed, am I correct? Restricted. Oh, restricted, excuse me. In other words, we can't just transfer that to another purpose. The Darrell Larson estate, as an example, was donated for a specific purpose, specific definition, so it's restricted to those purposes. It couldn't be transferred by the board or the administrator or anybody to go buy a highway truck or go do something other than what the restriction was placed on it by the estate. It's got to be for those purposes. Make sense? Okay. The next slide is just to remind you that, and this is a graphic version of it, is showing how we're accelerating the amount of debt payoff because the debt reserves, which are restricted to that purpose, can only be used to pay off debt. And I'm going to talk about the details of why we're able to pay off debt a little bit early. Again, it's paying off 4% money that we're paying interest of 4% when we're not able to invest that and get in any higher rate of return than probably 1% at the most. And at the same time, it's restricted to that purpose. It has to go to debt. It can't go to a different purpose. So the debt service detail is that's high point of the $7.1 million. The total debt retirement in 2012, according to the administrator's budget, is just over $7.1 million, but we're only levying taxes of $3.9 million. So how do we make up the difference between paying off that much debt and our debt service that we're actually levying on property taxes, taxpayers, which is the exact same dollar amount? We have a balance available in our debt service fund, and I'm going to explain how that works in several different pieces, but it's $1.7 million of that. The $1.4 million is made up of four different pieces. When we sold debt in 2009, the successful bidder paid us a bond premium. Very unusual, but in order to get the bid and to show the lowest interest rate, in addition to what they agreed to receive in interest payments, they also paid us a $445,000 bond premium. We received that, and of course has to be restricted at some point to pay off debt. This is when we're going to use that to pay off debt and lower our total amount of principal. In addition, each time, you may not recall, but when we sold the amount of debt to build the new law enforcement center, I asked you to break that up into several pieces. In a high interest rate environment, what you would have done generally is to borrow the entire $29.5 million, invest it for as much interest as you could, and protect yourself against arbitrage, which is having to pay something back to the government based on that you're investing it at a higher rate than you're actually paying in interest. In this environment, completely different situation, you want to delay as long as you can when you borrow the money because you don't want to incur any new interest until you actually need the funds. But we would levy the tax as if we had to make the full payment. So we had three separate bond issues, but we delayed when we actually sold the debt. And in each of those cases, we gained a little bit of excess levy or over levy that had to be restricted for that purpose. $186,000 on the 2008 debt, $343,000 on the 2009 debt, $441,000 on the 2010 debt. That gave us $1.4 million. We can't use that for any other purpose than to retire debt. So we're going to apply that against the 2001 LEC debt along with additional debt reserve savings from the prior year service. If you remember, in our commitments to the Wisconsin retirement system, a number of years ago, you sold debt for prior year service. Each year, we budget as if we're going to have to make that entire commitment that we charge back to each individual operating budget, as if every single budget is FTE is filled 100%. Again, that has to be restricted for this purpose. It's there for debt service. So we have $1.7 million to apply against paying down principal, and this is a good time to do that because we can pay that 2001A off early. In addition to that, the $29.5 million project that we just built, if you remember, particularly those of you that were on the construction committee, we came in at the end of the day under budget by $328,000. We sold debt at the $29.5 million, but we didn't need all of it by the end of the day. That has to be used against your outstanding debt as well. So you take that along with your special, my next point.
Supervisor Bina.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that we are saving the money prior to us going out for a bond issue, and that's the money that you're saving in those four categories up here?
No, we levied a tax as if we were going to have to make the full bond payment, but we delayed when we sold each of those three pieces of debt. So there was a little bit of excess levy over and above what the payment ended up resulting, and we didn't know till we actually sold that because we had to budget before we actually sold.
Okay.
But because there's that excess, we can only keep it there in the debt service fund, and we have to apply that against debt at some point.
No, I agree with that.
2012 budget is that purpose, and what we wanted to analyze what was what was the best situation to put us in, and how do we end up reducing our overall debt? And I think you'll be very pleased with the totals that we've come up, as well as accelerating that debt payment. So the next piece is also the special jail assessment fund. You recall that on the white sheet that you get, you'll see a detail of the total amount of special jail assessment funds. At the end of 2010, we had $1,219,000 in that fund, and those are dollars that are paid for as part of court proceedings, that when people pay their fees and fine, there's a specific percentage that's reserved aside from that by state law that goes into a fund. There's $1,000,002 of that that can only be used for specific jail purposes, some limited amount of maintenance or debt service for a law enforcement center. So we have $1,000,002, and we're going to apply $1,043,000, almost the entire amount of it, to really reduce our debt. So all of those figures add up to the $7.1 million at the top when you add in the debt levy. So that's probably a little bit more detail, a little bit slower than I gave it to you last time, but we're using funds that are restricted only for that purpose to accelerate our debt payment. And what that actually did by doing it the way we did was we incurred as little interest as possible during construction. We also put ourselves in a position, if there would have been something that was unforeseen that would have run over, we would have already had enough money to do something beyond contingency. So we can accelerate the payment. What that also does under the administrator's budget is we stay at 52 cents as our debt rate, even though the debt, the equalized value has declined a bit. And as you can see historically, that's pretty much in the ballpark of whatever average debt rate has been for a number of years, and much lower than it was at earlier in the period of time. We've had a philosophy in this county for many years prior to my hiring that you want to accelerate paying off debt very quickly. And so we continue to maintain that, and I'll show you some of the details in just a moment. You also will recall this from the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report when Renee was presenting that. At year-end 2010, our total amount of outstanding debt for all purposes, general fund, business fund, pension, and enterprise funds was $78.7 million. Using the administrator's budget, the percentages will stay very much the same, but will be down to, at the end of 2012, $61.5 million. Now let me show you where I'm getting those numbers. This is on the individual sheet that gives you the detail, and one of the things I realized is that we had never given you this total amount of detail so you could see the speed with which you're actually paying off the debt. So the front page is actually all of your general government debt, total of $52.9 million at the end of 2010, which is this column, and the far right column is $38.8 million. If you flip over to the second page, it adds the enterprise funds, and that's where you see we're going from $78.7 million down to this figure of $61.5 million. So you can see a really significant amount of payoff of both general fund and enterprise debt, but particularly general government debt. And here's the summary on the total government debt. Is the front page, because that's the most significant one. That's the one where you use property taxes to pay the debt back. The second part of the page is enterprise funds, where we're using things like the Hillview Terrace revenue or solid waste revenue that are specifically for that purpose. This is the part, while we use the full faith and credit of the government to back the debt and get the best interest rates, this is where we're actually using property taxes to pay back the debt. So from 2010 to 2012 at year end under this plan, our total indebtedness for governmental debt is going from 52.9 down to 38.8, while the total LEC debt, the top portion and your most significant debt principal that you owe, is dropping from 41.4 to 29.5. Coincidentally, what's interesting about that, of course, is that going at the end of 2012, we will owe approximately the amount of levy that we or debt that we just issued to build the new law enforcement center. So I just think I wanted to make sure that as we've done the creative things that we've done with using debt for financing, that you recognize that we're not building up principal or debt that we're owing. We're actually rapidly paying it off, and I'll talk more about the 2012 budget, where all we're doing of a little bit of new debt is for highway, but this also includes the amount of highway debt. And I know that's been a question before, but I thought it was important for you to see the total amount of principal that the county owes and how quickly that's being paid off under the structure that we've done, because the CAFR doesn't go into that level of detail and show you the historic background on that.
Supervisor Bina.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Does this graph show you the principal plus the interest that we are owed?
No, this is the outstanding principal.
It's just the principal.
It's the outstanding principal.
So you have to add on to whatever interest it is. And, you know, the interest lately is pretty good, but it was 3% and 4% before.
Right, which is why in our strategy and the one that we brought you on this particular year is paying off the 4% money as quickly as we could. It was actually 4.5%, because borrowing or refinancing that, which was the other option we looked at, didn't make sense because we can accelerate the payment. We could have taken that 4.5% with 4 years left, refinanced and got about 1.1-1.2% money, but that didn't make sense when we could actually fully pay it off 3 years early, and that's the result that you end up seeing. And we had never given you this much detail on the actual outstanding principal, which I think is critical, because the issues that we're going to have to deal with in the coming budget cycle is really what are the debt needs of the county and how do we end up going into the future. In the 2012 budget, we're proposing that we do one more short-term issue of highway debt and relook at all of this strategy in 2013 and beyond. That's a $2.1 million five-year note paid. The larger issues, though, are how do we deal with issues of ongoing highway needs. We've identified in your capital plan at least $37 million worth of unmet highway needs. How does the amount of indebtedness that we've had and our debt levy, being able to keep that as flat as possible, what are the needs and what are you willing to fund? And that's the kind of issue that the new board will be talking about. Or are there other needs you want to cut in place of or not do highway needs? That's the kind of debate and choices you're going to have. In addition to that are issues about the administrative center. What level of remodeling, what level of replacement, and what does that cost, and what is the board willing to wrestle with there? And finally is the entire issue of the Lakeview facility needs. We've had ongoing maintenance issues both in this building and at the Lakeview facility, but the Lakeview facility actually has a number of different funding options. So we'll walk back through these will be the largest decisions that the new county board after the spring election will need to be wrestling with for 2013 and beyond. But we had to get beyond this period of time where we were paying for two law enforcement centers, where we had to pay and retire debt from the 1997 law enforcement center and the new law enforcement center addition. You couldn't begin to address these issues until you got over that dual capacity. And we're getting to the end of that, so 2013 and beyond, you'll be able to make some of those decisions. And they still won't be easy decisions, but we couldn't ask the public to raise the debt levy, which you have the authority to do, at the same time you've got one of the most challenging economies ever, and you've got such a large amount of outstanding debt. The other item is, and they only do it every few years, but to give you an example, the Taxpayers Alliance did an analysis back in 2008. At that time, we were ranked about 19th out of counties in per capita debt. If the numbers for the rest of the counties didn't change, which obviously they will when we get this updated, by the end of 2012, using the same numbers, we'd be down to about 29th or 30th, based on the number that I just showed you. So again, we'll keep monitoring that, and when they do an updated report or we get all the debt levies, we'll bring that information back to you. But as you can see, one of the things that we've continued to the strategy is to pay off debt as quickly as possible when you do have to use that, because you've got ongoing needs, and we want to control the debt levy as part of your overall taxes as long as we can and keep it as flat as we can.
Supervisor Burke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just checking to see if I heard this correctly. The Special Jail Assessment Fund?
Yes.
Is going to be used for debt retirement.
That's correct.
The entire amount of it.
Almost all of it. There's $1.2 million in it. Mm-hmm. We'll be using $1.043 million And so there'll be a small reserve. And each year there's, in your budget, we use a sum sufficient, about $160,000 a year of new revenue, and we use that $160,000 to offset some of the ongoing maintenance cost of the facility instead of levying property taxes to pay for it. And I think that's what page, is it 94 of the, I think I've got that memorized. Anyway, you'll see a budget in there of jail assessment that shows you, okay, yep. So it's a significant expenditure, but that's the purpose it's there for, is maintenance or debt service needs for jail. Yep. Okay. The next items that I wanted to share with you, again, as Joe from Springstead mentioned, we again reaffirmed our AA1 bond rating. There are only a few counties that are rated higher than us at AAA. This is an actual definition of what they mean by AAA and AA1, AA2, AA3. This is, again, a comparison of the top 25 counties by population. Only five counties receive a higher rating. In every one of those counties, their per capita equalized value, the total amount of value, far exceeds what our county has. Let me use as an example, my favorite one, of course, is Ozaukee County, which is slightly smaller than us. Their total county value is about $14 billion. Ours is $7.5 billion. Similar population, but again, a much richer county equalized value. So again, that determines your rate. It also helps to determine your bond rating to some extent, because if you've got that much equalized value, you've got that much more to fall back on. So as Joe shared with you, it's unlikely we would ever achieve that level. We're as highly rated as we're going to be. But you can see the level of counties and quality of equalized value and quality of management that are in. Oh, gee, I did that. See, Tara's been giving me a hard time because my presentations are boring. And now Mr. Feehan missed the flip of the AA1. So is he?
It woke the rest of us up, though. That's all right.
What?
That
was a victory. Yeah, right.
A victory spin, yeah.
And this was also included in the Moody's estimate showing what local credit ratings are. City of La Crosse was recently brought up to a AA2. By the way, the state of Wisconsin is AA2. Key factors and rating comparison. While we like to take credit for our conservative management, the other things are obviously the top four items are actually items that are out of our control. Population demographics, property value information. The stability of our equalized value is something that's very interesting. Some counties are seeing drops in equalized value of as much as 2, 3, and 4%. Ours, while it's a slight decline, it's still very stable. Our local economy tends to be more diverse and more less reliant on one set of features than others. Again, we hope we contribute to that, but we can't take credit for that. Tax capacity rates. The last three items, outstanding debt amortization, how fast you're paying off your debt, is something that Moody's considers. I know I've seen that comment in the Moody, the Standards and Poor report on City of La Crosse. I've seen it on Moody's comments on us. Our financial statement information, why do we use all the governmental county standard boards standards to be able to report, and of course, conservative budgeting and healthy reserves. So those are a number of items. The last item that I want to touch on is next meeting, the executive committee will be bringing back the master fees and charges list. Just to repeat, when you see that green list with all those details on it, you'll just to remind you of what the alphabet soup is. The last increase or the rating talks about that it's either set by the state, set by the county, or set by both. 70% of all of the charges in here have seen no change, and that's where you see where it says for 2012, no change. That's not no charge. We didn't eliminate the charge. Oh, was there someone that asked that? A little bird told me that somebody was concerned that we were eliminating it.
It would be helpful for future versions of this document to have a legend.
Okay.
So that for those of us who aren't psychic or otherwise informed about these things,
we
understand. We try
to get better each time.
What?
Yeah, we did not eliminate
NC
the charge.
That NC is no change and SS is set by state, okay, and so forth. Thank you.
Yep, and we'll try to put that at the top. You also have a separate handout that describes some of that information. I know there are questions at executive committee about this. But again, there are over 700 fees and charges with a projected total of $23.9 million. The increases in the areas that charge directly to the users of the service, the most significant changes were in facilities park fees, which tend to be used by folks from outside the area, and a 2% increase in the health department. 23.98 sounds like a great deal of charge, but if you look at the pie chart, I'll talk about that in a second. The financial management policies talk about fees and charges established to keep property taxes at a minimum. Where can we have the user of a service that is not the general taxpayer pay for the service that they're using? That's the general philosophy around that. Fairly allocate the full cost of the service to the user rather than to the general property taxpayer, and evaluate what the full cost is of that service in order to reflect what the true cost of the programs and services are. So, for example, the actual pie chart that's included there indicates that while we have 23.9 million in user fees, you might not recognize that a user fee includes at Hillview and Lakeview. What do you charge the user of that service? That's not what you might think of as a general use. Solid waste. What do the people that pay garbage fees pay? So the two largest areas of the, quotes, user fees are not onesie, twosies, paying for a permit, paying for an inspection. The largest share is actually to solid waste and Hillview and Lakeview, the enterprise funds in general. Aging has a smaller number. Health, human services, general fund, and library obviously have some significant ones. But again, in general, we don't do a lot of changing of user fees unless we have the ability that the user is going to be able to provide more, like last year where we had the Mississippi Valley Health Services increase. We had things like the increase to probation and parole. The rent that we charged probation and parole was a $400,000 increase. So any place we can get users to pay for something other than the general property taxpayer is the basic philosophy.
Supervisor Mettinger.
Where's corrections on these fees? I don't see it on the pie chart.
That would be in general fund. You're talking about charges to inmates and that type of thing?
Yeah.
It would be a very small subset of the charges to inmates.
Is that in our book someplace?
That's in your book. It's actually, let's see, the department, we'd actually list the detail, and we could, if you look at the jail, you can actually see the total amount of revenue in that line item.
Okay.
Yep.
A lot of time you're trying to get blood out of a turnip there, aren't you?
Right, and we don't get a great deal, but we do get some. And we change it when we believe we can get slightly more, but that hasn't changed a great deal. And so that's the conclusion of the wrap-up. I wanted to give you an update on the per capita comparison on levy, really the rapidity with which we're paying down debt service and how we're doing that and really reducing the amount of principal and controlling the levy with the best means in mind, and finally the fees and charges. So that's what I wanted to get across tonight, and then see what items the board would like us to be ready for, particularly which department heads should be here for budget consideration, and are there specific amendments you'd like us to prepare. We're going to executive committee on Wednesday for final review, and that's actually what I was referring to in that last part,
okay,
which gives you a little bit more detail than the two slides, as well as the identical pie chart, and then on the back talks about what your financial management policies are that were adopted back in February of 2005 about fairly allocating the cost to fees and charges and users when you have that ability.
And then on the agenda itself, it refers to outside agencies and indirect charges.
Yes. Those two items usually come up, and so if there are items that you wanted us to look into in more detail, we've given you handouts on that, just like the fund balance information. Those two items tend to come up, and we will follow up on any items that you'd like us to with those as well.
Supervisor Doyle.
Steve, could you just give the board a quick overview of the issue we discussed this morning with regard to gifted hands, given the possibility at least that that issue could come in at the last minute in the budget?
That's right. My understanding, and Noreen will be here for your meeting next week, there's some significant cutback in federal revenue that currently pays for an outside agency that gifted hands, where there's consignment items that are sold by aging craftspeople that actually put things together. We end up working with them quite closely, but they're not going to be able to have the same level of staffing. So the aging aging committee asked us to look, is there a way that we can provide some small amount of funding to help them get through the year? And we're still examining that. That just came up this morning. So that may be an amendment that would be presented by your staff on behalf of Aging Long-Term Care. I'll review that with the committee chair before we actually present that. But the committee was just learning about that today. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the title of the money. John, do you remember what that was called? Was that Title V? Title V. Right, so it is impacting the ability. It's an outside agency. It's not something we're directly responsible for, but obviously many of our citizens utilize that, and we have a relationship with that program as well. So that, we will have a report back to you. That just came up this morning, just a couple of hours ago. So,
Supervisor Plesha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess this is a good opportunity to ask people if you're looking for Christmas gifts. Gifted Hands is a great place to go look, and part of the revenue that comes from the sales, a percentage of that goes into that rent that they pay, and it could help them out. So if you're looking for something a little bit different, go check them out. They're up on Caledonia Street, and they'd like to see you come and visit. Thanks.
You'd be buying locally also if you did that. At this point, any questions from the presentation, any items that you want staff to look into? A week from tonight will be the public hearing. The following morning on Tuesday the 15th, we will be debating the budget in earnest along with the rest of... Thank you, Supervisor Bills-Kemper. We were just going to ask about the meal sheet. Supervisor Spiker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. About the public hearing, is that all we're going to do that night?
That's the what's your pleasure?
Well,
I mean, I think past practice.
Packer game is on. That's why I'm really asking.
I understand where your priorities are, Supervisor Spike.
Sometimes.
What's the start time of the game?
7:30.
Any objection to just doing the public hearing and then starting Tuesday morning with the agenda, with our regular agenda, instead of what has been in some recent years the practice of launching into the debate, or actually launching into our agenda when the public hearing is over on Monday night? Any objection to yielding to the Packers game that night? Supervisor Weers.
I just have a question. If what if the public hearing doesn't go past, you know, 6:30, 7 o'clock? I would rather keep going until 7, just because I have a prior commitment also to leave early on the 15th. Not early, but I have to be gone by noon, so...
So if the public hearing doesn't take us to 7 or shortly after 7, can we agree to stick around till 7 or so and get through as much of the agenda as we can? I'm seeing heads nodding to that. 7-ish, so people can get home in time for the game. Supervisor Friedland.
I think it's a bit more of an imposition to ask people who ordinarily work on Wednesday to have to stay longer for a meeting on Wednesday than it is to expect people to get home for the football game.
At this point in the process, from my seat, you are in the minority on that, Supervisor Freeland. So duly noted. But
the meeting is Tuesday, though. Okay.
Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, but her point is those who have commitments during the day on Tuesday. Supervisor Bina.
I just had one question in regards to the fees. We got a brand new zoning ordinance, which isn't approved yet, and we got a new sign ordinance, which isn't approved yet. And I guess we're told as a committee they haven't put everything all together for anyone. Are we going to make a decision on the fees at some point down the road after approval or before approval?
I guess that's my expectation. I was looking for Jeff, was that it would be determined on what ordinances you actually adopt. I think it would be presumptive of us, other than what you've already got in place, to change what the fees are. I'm not clear what the final result in either of those capacities are going to be. And as I note, we haven't changed zoning fees since 2007 in almost all cases because of the economy and what's actually been happening. So we've held the line for quite a while on most fees. And we would change those based on, you know, your direction and depending on what ordinance you adopt. But that might, that will be most like, well, it will be after the budget adoption, so you'd have to consider that then. I don't know.
Supervisor Meyer.
If Don had something more.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Staff is looking at fees for the sign ordinance. They're looking that over as we put that together. So I'm not sure exactly when we'll have it, but it's there.
Supervisor Benrud.
Thank you. So our public hearing is Monday evening, and then 9 o'clock on Tuesday. What about Wednesday? Do we go into Wednesday or no?
Only if we're not able to complete or work our way through the agenda on Tuesday.
Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor Schrader.
So the next group then that will be discussing the budget will be the executive committee. Is that correct?
There will actually be a discussion at Judiciary and Law tomorrow on any items that they're concerned about. Tomorrow evening at Health and Human Services, any issue they're concerned about. Executive Committee Wednesday, and then it goes to public hearing. So we've been asking each committee as we've been coming in this week to see if they've got any items that have come up that we've missed or that they're concerned about.
Okay, I think I'll voice the same concerns I have, and that is some capital expenditures, on this building. I've received quite a few comments about how shabby the hallways in this building are starting to look, wallpaper peeling off and so on. I would like the executive committee to look into adding some dollars, some capital improvements to this building.
Everybody on executive committee heard him say that, right? Okay. Supervisor Doyle.
My recollection is the last few years we've gone on Monday evening till 8 or 8:30. Given that we're going to break a little early, would people be strongly opposed to starting Tuesday morning at perhaps 8:30 instead of 9 o'clock? People be okay on that?
The notice right now is, I don't know, we haven't sent out notice yet, sorry. Show of hands on 8:30. Yes, 8:30. Show of hands, no, we'd prefer to stay at 9 o'clock. The 8:30s have it.
Kind of underwhelmed.
Supervisor, somebody else had their hand up. Supervisor Weirs, did you have your hand up? No. Any other direction to staff along the lines of what Supervisor Schrader just indicated. Any other directions to staff on changes, additions to the budget? So they are ready, so it gets through their workings and number crunchings before we start looking at it next week. Last call. So again, Judiciary and Law, Health and Human Services tomorrow, Executive Committee on Wednesday. We'll be looking at their portions of the budget. Anything else from you, Mr. O'Malley? We got the meal sheet back. Thank you. Suggestions for future agenda items. Supervisor Geary.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On that frac sand mining issue, even the Highway Commissioner told me that he's had a lot of, he thinks the attendance will be large. Mm-hmm. I think maybe you should try to get that Logan auditorium or theater thing that seats about 250 or 300. It's about two blocks from the location of where the thing will be on the north side anyway, but my suggestion would be to hold it up at Logan if that's available on that Monday night. Why don't somebody look into that? It's got much better seating. It's got that theater type seating, and if we do get a large turnout, which I'd anticipate, I don't think what we have here will accommodate the people adequately. Does anybody object to meeting up on the north
side?
I
don't think it's an objection to meeting up there. I think it's a question of whether we really will have that demand. And I guess I would ask that we leave it up to staff to find a suitable location. They're the ones extending the invitation, and we'll hear back from elected officials from towns and villages and get a sense of how many we expect for that. It's very clear the public may show up as well, but there might be, you know, across the street, for example, instead of committing to Logan, if we can just ask that staff look into a suitable location for the December 5th meeting. Is that all right, Supervisor Geary?
Sure, that's fine. Okay. I suggest it because it's about two blocks from the location, so yeah. It's the neighbors would be convenient.
I know scheduling in December and in schools is tough in the evenings because of programs. Supervisor Pedretti.
Well, just for the record, Wisconsin Towns Unit Meeting, November 17th, they have the frac sand mining on their agenda, and Carl Green is giving a presentation. So you're going to have some town representatives that will get that at that meeting, and they may still come to both. But just for the record, they are going to get a frac sand mining presentation.
For those who attend.
And on the 16th as well. So.
Right. Yeah. So there are many opportunities for this topic. Any other future agenda items? Any other future agenda items? Supervisor Ebert.
He wanted to know, the administrator would like to know some of the amendments. Would you like those now or? Correct. I'll have two amendments come in. One would be to reduce the fee for the pumping septic service from $13 to $10, and that we're not doing the research anymore. And the second one would be to reduce the percent that the county will pay for supervisors' health care from 40% to 20%. Those would be the two that I'll be bringing up.
Any other future agenda items? If not, is there a motion to adjourn? Moved by Supervisor Richmond, seconded by Supervisor Kyle. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. We are adjourned. Thank you.